Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives are being transformed and nourished by the preaching of the word of God. Let's say a word of prayer quickly. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for illumination. Thank you because no soul under the sound of this voice will remain the same. Thank you because our hearts are instructed in the way of righteousness. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. So we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. And then I've been emphasizing what to look out for in a ministry gift, in a minister of the gospel, in choosing or following a minister of the gospel. What should I look out for? What are the things I should, you know, look out for? What are the things that determine be the yardstick of judging the soundness of a ministry gift? Hallelujah. What are the things that determine the soundness of a ministry gift? And I said, the ministry gift must have an emphasis on what Christ has done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, nor wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. And then I added yesterday that a sound ministry gift also reveals to you your identity. The identity of God, hallelujah, that is beyond your identity in Christ. The ministry gift shows you who the Father is, because Jesus came to show us, or to give to us, the revelation of the Father. Up until the time that Jesus came upon the scene, men did not know the Father as they ought to. So Jesus revealed the Father to us. He declared Him to us. And we find the apostles also, you know, maintaining that revelation in their letters. They revealed the Father to us. They revealed God to us in a way that we ought to know Him. For instance, James chapter 1, look at this carefully. So a ministry gift has a strong emphasis on that which Christ has done, which includes our position in Him, our inheritance, our identity in Him, and then also reveals to us the identity of the Father. Having learned the word of God, having gone through scriptures, I should be able to say certainly and for sure that this is who God is and this is how God behaves. Hallelujah. I should be able to predict the character of God. I should be able to predict the moves of God. I should know what God is doing and what God cannot do. I should know what God can do and what God cannot do. Praise God. The beauty of Bible study is not just for us to know what God can do. It makes us also realize and to know what God cannot do. For instance, I know that God is not the one inflicting the world with coronavirus. I know that from the word of God. I know that God does not do these kind of things. Praise God. I know that from the word of God. I know that from the word of God. I'm taught by the word of God. I'm taught in scriptures to know that in Christ Jesus, God is not inflicting punishment on the world because of some sins here and there today. Hallelujah. Someone says, what about the Old Testament happenings and all that? Well, the Old Testament, that's a story for another day, or a teaching for another day. However, let me quickly say this. Many of the plagues in the Old Testament books were not acts of God also. And so we must be able to carefully look through scriptures to find out the things that really happened at those times. Some of the acts in the Old Testament were actually acts of God. I'm not one to rewrite the narrative. I'm not one to shy away from, you know, admitting that God did certain things, albeit through the ministry of angels in the Old Testament. But a lot of activities also that happened in the Old Testament that the prophets attributed to the hand of God and the workings of God were not of God. Hallelujah. So the Bible, the scriptures help me discern God in a way that I know what God can do and what God cannot do. And I know why God does the things that He does. Hallelujah. So James chapter 1 from verse 12, Bible says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. So I know from scriptures that God will never tempt anyone with evil. Praise God. God will never test anyone with evil. Praise God. You know, some folks assume that God is able to, God regularly tests people with sickness because you've not been yielding to the call of God upon your life, because you've not been following the will of God, because you've not been praying. So God decides to test you with a particular sickness or infirmity. God decides to bring a trial your way so as to teach you prayer, or to teach you fervency and commitment to prayer. That's not God. Hallelujah. That's not God. As a matter of fact, the only way God would continually remind people or continually urge them to do his will is by his word. That's why the Bible says all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the scriptures are sufficient. When it comes to doctrine, it's by the scriptures. When it comes to correction, God doesn't do it by inflicting men with sickness. It's by the scriptures. When it comes to reproof, that is, we want to have evidence for the faith, for the Christian faith, evidence for God, evidence for who we are in him, and all that, the scriptures are sufficient. What about instructions in righteousness, practical training? The scriptures are sufficient. So it's about the scriptures. Hallelujah. It's about, so from the scriptures, from the word of God, I know what God can do and what God cannot do. I'm able to predict the move of God. I know the disposition of God towards me perpetually. So a sound ministry gift is able to expose to you and to reveal to you the nature and the character of God, the identity of the Father. Praise God. So today I'm just going to make progress from there and to emphasize this one point that, you know, when we say we are looking for emphasis on sound doctrine, emphasis on what Christ has done, the identity of the Father, what we are actually looking for is apostolic teaching. That is, we are looking for what the apostles taught. Praise God. You know, today we have a lot of people who claim that God has given them a special revelation for the body of Christ. And then when you look at the special revelation, it is not consistent with anything taught in the letters of the apostles. And you're wondering why they assume or why they feel that they have a right to be preaching a special revelation. That's because they do not even realize that they ought to test visions and dreams and encounters and subject them to the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's see this carefully. Galatians in chapter 1, and then we'll go to Matthew 28. We're going to see why it is important to follow apostolic doctrine and pattern. You cannot preach anything contrary or anything that sounds different from what the apostles taught. In the Christian faith, trying to sound unique, trying to sound different, or trying to sound unique from the apostles is an error. Hallelujah. Fatal error. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Galatians and chapter 1. Look at what Paul says here. We ought to judge and test falsehood. We ought to judge and test visions that even appear to be true. We ought to judge angelic encounters and manifestations by the written word. We must subject all experiences. We must subject all voices. You know, to the scrutiny of the word of God, of the scriptures. Many times people just follow voices. You are just hearing voices, leadings and directions, and you're not testing them by the word of God, and you think you are safe. That's how come we have a lot of church leaders who claim they had an encounter, some 4 hours encounter, or sometimes some 48 hours, 24 hours encounter with God, in quotes, in the which God was giving them instruction concerning what they ought to teach. And then you look at those things that they were instructed to teach, and you find out that these things cannot even stand the test of scriptures. The truth of the matter is, the problem or the mistake that they made was that they did not subject that encounter to the test of the word of God, of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 1, I'll read from verse 11. Oh no, I'll read from verse 6. The Bible says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. It says, as we have said before. So that means Paul, you know, the apostles, they had warned people about these kind of things. Supernatural manifestations, supernatural encounters, visions, dreams, revelations, you know, spiritual experiences. Paul says, if anyone, even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. The fact that you saw an angel in your room or on your way, you know, to work, or while you were in fasting and prayer for 40 days does not add anything to your revelation. Hallelujah. Does not add credibility to your revelation, to your knowledge, or to your preaching or your sermon. It adds nothing. You are meant to subject that encounter to the scriptures. Glory to God. So we are looking for apostolic doctrine. In looking for a sound ministry gift, we are looking for apostolic doctrine. Somebody that is faithful to the teaching and the preaching of the apostles. Look at Matthew 28. Glory be to God. Matthew and chapter 28. Hallelujah. Look at how Jesus puts this at Matthew 28. We are looking for apostolic doctrine because Jesus handed his message to them. Hallelujah. He handed his message to them. Matthew 28, I'll start from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and baptize or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. He says, teaching them all things that I have commanded you. You see that it's in past tense. Not all things that I will command you. All the things I have commanded you. All the things I have told you. Praise God. So guess what? Jesus handed the faith, handed the doctrine of the Christian faith to the apostles. He handed everything to them. He taught them. And then he sent them into the world to teach others. Hallelujah. So it's the apostles that came to us with the revelation of Christ, with the gospel. So nobody has the right to teach anything that is separate from what they taught. We are to teach what they taught the same way they taught it. And you see, that's very important. Because I'm aware that today a lot of people quote from the letters of the apostles, but they do not quote the letters of the apostles the way those things are written. So you find somebody take a verse of the Bible from the middle of a letter, let's say the letter written to the Romans, take something in the middle of a letter written to the Romans, and then begins to use that verse of the Bible to say his own thing. Hallelujah. You see, there's teaching the word of God and there's using scriptures to back up your own opinion, which is what a lot of preachers are doing today. Hallelujah. And you see, this is why there's such a thing as rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. Rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, Bible says, study to show yourself approved, or be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can wrongly divide the word of truth. You can present the truth of scriptures. You can quote the verses, the chapters. You can even quote the person, hallelujah, and totally misquote them. Praise God. So there's such a thing as rightly dividing the word of truth. There's teaching scriptures and there's using scriptures to back up your own idea and ideology. Praise God. I've seen a trend in the body of Christ where people are telling stories, giving, you know, stories, and then sharing experiences, and then looking for scriptures to back up those experiences. Hallelujah. I mean, I listened to a preacher of the gospel explain how that when James says, don't show the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with partiality, don't dishonor the poor man, don't say to the rich, come and sit down, you know, with me, and then to the poor, sit at my footstool and all that. Now, what he was teaching, and then he illustrated that with something that happened with an American firm. You know, back in the days of recession in America, what happened to them, in the which the company decided not to fire those people that were working in the firm, those people that were, you know, doing some menial tasks like the janitor, the cleaners, and all that. They decided not to fire them, and then they, you know, they began to split some of their own. What's this called now? Allowances, yeah, not the main salary, some of their own allowances. They decided to, you know, relieve themselves of those things in order to sort the salary of those guys and, you know, to help them keep their job. And then this person says, that's exactly what James was saying. And I'm like, what? That's not what James was saying. Praise God. That's not what James was saying. I mean, it does not even apply at all. Hallelujah. It does not apply. So you find people use stories, illustrations, events in the world and their own personal experiences, and then they look for scriptures to back up those things. Praise God. Whereas what you did was to come to the scriptures with a preconceived notion. You know, when James was saying that, he had no idea there was going to be a company or an American firm somewhere that was going to make such sacrifices for people. I mean, it does not even follow, because James was teaching how we ought to treat ourselves in the faith, how we ought to receive ourselves in the body of Christ, how we ought not to despise the poor. He had nothing to do with the management of a company trying to sacrifice their own allowances to cater for those who were not, you know, earning that much in the company just to save their job or to keep their job during the recession. He had nothing to do with it. But, I mean, somebody audaciously and boldly gets to the pulpit, gives this kind of illustration, and then says, this is what James was saying, and people are clapping and saying, woo, woo, and all that. I mean, it's a funny time we live in. Praise God. So, there's preaching the word of God, and there's using the scriptures to say what you want to say. And that's not acceptable. So we're looking for apostolic doctrine. We're looking for what the apostles said and how they said it. Because it is to them that Jesus committed the teachings of the New Testament, the truth of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Look at Jude. Hallelujah. Look at the book of Jude. So the faith was delivered once and for all to the saints when Jesus delivered it to the apostles. And then the apostles are the ones that teach the church the doctrine. That's why we have their letters today. Jude 3, Bible says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Have you seen the faith? When he says the faith here, he's talking about the doctrine, the body of truth, the system of truth. He says the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's a once for all delivered, you know, faith. So it's apostolic faith. Hallelujah. Apostolic doctrine is delivered once and for all time. So nobody has a right to invent something else. Nobody has a right to innovate something. Nobody has a right to come up with a unique revelation. Nobody has a right to come up with something that that the apostles have not taught in a bit to sound different in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I know there's the idea of apostles that people are championing today. Says, you know, that man is an apostle. And then you say, okay, why do you think he's an apostle? He says, you need to listen to him. He has rare insights and, you know, insights you won't find, insights that are not common. No, an apostle today is not somebody who has a different insight, a different revelation from that which the apostles of Christ actually taught and arrived at. Is a man that takes the gospel to a place where nobody has found it. Hallelujah. A man that takes the gospel to a place where, a man that pioneers the work of ministry in a place where nobody has heard the gospel. Hallelujah. It takes the gospel to men who have not heard about it. Do you understand? So that's the apostolic gift. It's an ambassador. He sent one, a delegate, a man sent to a place where, you know, they've not heard the truth of the word of God. And that's exactly what the apostles did. You know, we have the foundational apostles. 12 of them, Judas, fell by transgression, and then he forfeited his office. He wasn't saved, by the way. And then we have Paul come along. So you notice that the disciples took the gospel to places where it was not heard. Hallelujah. Shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So they went to places where the gospel has not been heard. Hallelujah. You know, Paul speaks about taking the gospel to where Christ has not been named, lest it was building on another man's foundation. So that's the work of an apostle. The word apostle is the Greek word apostolos, which means a sent one, a delegate, an ambassador. It goes to a place to announce the gospel of Christ. And, you know, that's the first time they're going to be hearing about it. So it takes the gospel to uncharted territories. Hallelujah. So an apostle today also carries on the same legacy and tradition. It takes the gospel to people who have not heard about it before. Not just individuals. I mean locations, specific locations and areas and places and nations. Hallelujah. So an apostle today is not somebody who has a different revelation from that which is clearly documented and stated in scriptures. An apostle is somebody who goes to places where the name of Christ has not been named, and then he proclaims the gospel right there. Praise God. So we're looking for apostolic doctrine. We're looking for, you know, the teaching of the apostles, the way they taught it. That's what defines, or that's what determines, a sound ministry gift today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we've seen Jude 1:3. So the faith was delivered once and for all to the saints via the ministry of the apostles. Hallelujah. Via the ministry of the apostles. So there is nothing unique to be said. There is nothing I am to preach today. There's nothing you are to preach today. There's nothing any pastor, any minister of the gospel, any prophet, any ministry gift at all is meant to preach today that is meant to be different from what has been clearly taught and stated by the apostles. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2 in verse 42. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 in verse 42. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 and verse 42. Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. You see, it's so apostolic. Bible calls it apostolic, apostles' doctrine. Praise God. It's their doctrine. Why is it called apostles' doctrine? Because they were the ones that Jesus commissioned to take the gospel to the whole world. What I'm saying in essence is this. Without the ministry of the apostles, we would not have known the gospel today. If after Jesus commissioned the apostles to get in the world and preach, and then he called Paul to get in the world and preach the gospel, and these guys refused to preach the gospel, we are not going to know anything about the gospel today. The gospel that we preach today was dependent on their faithfulness to the mandate to take the gospel to the world. That's why we have their letters. Imagine the church today without the letters of the apostles. Hallelujah. So Bible calls it apostles' doctrine. Glory to God. It is their doctrine. Hallelujah. So we are not teaching anything unique. A sound ministry gift is somebody who repeats what the apostles have said. It's not trying to sound different. It just simply repeats what the apostles have said. Is it found in the letters of Paul? Is it found in the letters of Peter? Is it found in the letters of James? Is it found in the writer of Hebrews? Is it found in the letters of John? Is it found in Jude? Hallelujah. I mean, the things that the apostles clearly taught and showed the church, those are the things we repeat today. Hallelujah. Now, you see, yes, the challenge with repeating the same things that others have taught. Yes, the challenge. It robs you of ego and pride and, you know, that sense of being original. And, you know, the human nature enjoys being celebrated for saying something that others have not said. Hallelujah. I'm telling you fact. The human nature enjoys it. When, you know, you say something and people are like, wow, I've never heard that before. We delight ourselves in innovation. We delight ourselves in being creative. We delight ourselves in being unique, in, you know, saying things that are spectacularly different. So the ministry we have received actually does not allow for that part of our humanity that always likes to shine. Praise God. It doesn't give room for being innovative. It doesn't give room for sounding different. It doesn't give room for, you know, saying something that will wow people and thrill people compared to what they've always heard and always known from the scriptures. Hallelujah. All it demands from us is faithfulness to that which the apostles have said. Praise God. So that's why if you look at the way Paul addressed this at 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at this carefully. 1 Timothy 6. Glory to God. 1 Timothy in chapter 6. See how Paul addressed this. He says, let as many bond servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who are believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. Now look at verse 3. He says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. He calls it pride. That is, a man that does not consent or submit to apostolic teaching, apostolic doctrine, Bible says such a man is proud. Hallelujah. Right in the heart of a man that prides himself in saying things that others have not said is a desire for self-glory. Praise God. A desire for self-glory. A desire for people to say, wow, I've never heard it like this. Wow, wow, nobody else can teach it like this. Wow, nobody else knows this. Wow, it's only this guy that understands these things. And then you find people who, you know, say things that others are not saying, pride themselves in saying those things. They pride themselves in the fact that they are the only ones who know those things. They are the ones who have a special grace, so to speak, an anointing or a revelation that others do not have an idea about. So, somewhere lurking in their hearts is pride and ego, self-glory, self-exaltation. And that's exactly what the ministry of Christ seeks to destroy. That's why the man that will serve Jesus in the ministry is a man that must be ready to die to self. You must be ready to die to ego. You must be ready to say what you have been told. Hallelujah. You must be ready to say that which you have received. Glory to God. So Jesus instructed his apostles. And guess what? Those men were so faithful, they did not innovate the doctrine. They didn't get into the world to start teaching things that Jesus had not taught them. They taught men the things that Jesus taught. Hallelujah. Paul the apostle, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. Look at what he says. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. He says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Hallelujah. They taught the word of God purely. Look at how Peter says at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The word sincere there means unadulterated. They taught it exactly how they received it. Glory to God. So they did not innovate. And that's exactly how they also expected men to carry on the tradition, as we have passed on the truth to you, unadulterated. And then, you know, we have their letters today. The same way we are meant to just simply pass on what they taught in the same manner. But what are we seeing today? We are seeing men say that, you know, the times have changed. Hallelujah. The times have changed. Things are not like the days of the apostles. The times have changed. We need to learn how to make the word more practical. We need to learn how to teach men the word of God. We need to teach men, and we need to learn how to adapt the message to this 21st century and all that. It's funny. All that is required of us is obedience and faithfulness. Hallelujah. Obedience and faithfulness. Listen, what the word seeks to address has been constant in every generation. It's been constant. Whether it's in the 21st century or in the Stone Age, it's been a constant situation. Praise God. Now, for instance, with respect to salvation, Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, which is in Christ Jesus. In all generation, all have sinned is all have sinned, and all need to be justified by faith in Christ. So the gospel would always be relevant in the same way to every generation with respect to salvation. What about spiritual growth? God needs men to grow in the faith and develop the fruit of the Spirit and do the work of ministry. It's the same challenge that God wants to address in every generation. So the changing times have no effect on the message, because what the message seeks to address has been a constant thing. The times are changing. Men are becoming more educated. Men are becoming more exposed. Technology is advancing. The world is changing. Business strategies and all that. You know, people are becoming more developed and advanced. But then the challenge, the spiritual problems are the same. Hallelujah. And you see, that's why the works of the flesh have been constant in every generation. Praise God. Have you noticed that anger problem is the same in every generation? The problem of anger or infidelity or malice, greed, covetousness is the same. Praise God. It's the same. What about envy, hatred? It's the same. So you don't need to innovate or, you know, try to make the word of God more practical to suit this century or anything like that, because the challenges have always been the same. Praise God. People are going through the same things. The only reason why a man will feel that there's a need for us to start, you know, adapting the word of God to suit this generation, to suit this generation, and making the word of God more practical for this generation, is when we have our eyes off the main things that the word seeks to address, and then we are trying to use the word of God to get results in the business world. You know, that's what is really changing. Praise God. That's what is really changing. The business world is changing. How people are making money is different. How people are getting jobs today. Those things are changing. But that's not what the word of God wants to address. The word of God is not for addressing the economy or addressing the workplace. Praise God. The word of God seeks to address humanity. Seeks to address people. Guess what? People are always the same. Hallelujah. The problems have always been the same. There is no problem in this age. There is no character problem or character issue that is peculiar to this time. What is the worst sin you can mention? What is the worst character flaw you can mention? Someone says, well, what about homosexuality? Praise God. Are you kidding me? Back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's been there. Praise God. Someone says, hey, but you know, they were not really flaunting it back then. Now people are even legalizing it in nations. Are you kidding me? Those guys in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were even worse. Everybody was practicing it and they endorsed it. And they were flaunting it. It was their tradition. Do you understand? They were doing it. It was so strange to others, to strangers around them. It was strange to Lot. But those guys owned it as their culture and their way of life. There is nothing new under the sun. Just agree with Solomon on this one point. There is nothing, there's absolutely nothing new under the sun. Praise God. So what is happening to the world? We are advancing in technology, advancing, you know, how we do business. We are getting from one, we are, you know, transitioning rather from one age to another age. You know, now we're in the information age, digital age and all that. You know, we are carrying the same heart, the same character flaws, the same issues, the same spiritual condition and deficiency from one age to another. Those things are constant. Hallelujah. So you see, the things that are changing in the world today, mostly technological advancement, how we communicate, business, you know, how business is done, the ease of business, how the world has become a global market and all that. You know, we could say, you know, back in the day, they used to cook with this. Today, now we have gas cooker. Do you understand? And then some even have electric cooker and you know, some even have solar, you know, cookers that are powered by solar and all of that. I hear that we have cars that are powered by solar today. You know, those are the things that are really changing. But then the challenges, the spiritual condition, spiritual challenge is the same. So the word of God would always be relevant in the same way that Jesus taught it, in the same way that the apostles taught it, in the same way we are teaching it today in the years to come. What I'm saying in essence is that your children are going to need a presentation of the gospel the same way that the apostles taught it. The same way we are receiving it today is the same way they are going to need it when, you know, it's their turn. Praise God. In their own time. Glory to God. And you know, the reason why the church is not getting the same results that the apostles got in the lives of people today is because we are seeking to adapt it to the times. Praise God. And we are watering down the standard. And we're not teaching it the same way they taught it. Because the way they taught it is what brings spiritual growth. Praise God. The way they taught it is what changes lives. Hallelujah. So in looking for a sound ministry gift, we are looking for a man that has the emphasis and the doctrine and the teachings of the apostles the same way they taught it and presented it in the Bible. Glory to God. We are going to continue from here in the next episode. Don't forget to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, relatives, colleagues, classmates, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.